for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Spring Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, March the 21st, 2008. Glenn Miller is the speaker of this service teaching on the laws of life.
Tom, this afternoon, made a couple, three remarks about Easter, and so I'll say a little more for a couple of minutes. The word Easter is an abomination to God, because Easter is the name of a heathen goddess, or a woman that they have made a goddess, Ishtar, from which comes the name Easter. This is Passover. This is when our Lord paid the price for our sins. And we don't want it mixed up with any heathen worship. He mentioned about a sunrise service. Sunrise service originated from the worshipers of the sun. And they transferred it over to Jesus. It's an abomination. Another thing about Passover. Jesus was not crucified on Friday. And he did not rise on Sunday morning. Have you studied the scriptures yourself to see if these things be so? What did Jesus say? He said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be. Well, there's no way that any scientist or mathematician can make Friday night till Sunday morning 3 days and three nights. Now, let's take, since this is a time we're allotted for Passover, and I should have looked at the calendar and figured it out to be exactly what day, because it doesn't fall on Monday or Wednesday or Friday. It falls on whatever day is calculated from the first day of the new moon. That's when the crucifixion is counted to. But let's assume that this week is correct. The 20th, well, that was yesterday. Or April the 20th. Yeah, okay. But just let's assume that it is correct. If this is correct, that it was this week, Jesus would have been crucified on Wednesday afternoon. On Wednesday afternoon. He was put in the grave at the beginning of the day, sunset. The calendar day in Jesus' time was reckoned from sunset to sunset. And so, he was put in the grave by Josephus' uncle at sunset. Now, which is the beginning of a new day. Now, so he was there Wednesday night, one. Thursday night, two. Friday night, three. And he rose from the grave at sunset, Saturday evening. 3 days and three nights. Now, because it's evening time and dark, the girls didn't come looking for him until what we would call Sunday morning. And he wasn't there. He was risen. Amen. Amen. He is risen. Hallelujah. So, that's just a little teaching about the error that we have believed and been taught by all of our denominations. is an absolute abomination to God that has been, that we have honored it in that manner that we have been taught. So I trust that those of you who hear me this evening will study to see if these things be so and change your way and ask the Lord to forgive you for worshiping a heathen goddess. Now, there's a lot more that can be said about this. And in my days past, when I was Sunday school superintendent of a large church in the San Fernando Valley for for 9 years, I threw some big so-called Easter parties for the Sunday school department. God, forgive me. Forgive me. Because all we were doing was worshiping the things of the world and not Jesus. Oh, had a good time, but it did not teach what Jesus died for. Painted Easter eggs are pretty, but they are a sign of fertility. Bunny rabbits are nice, but they're a heathen sign of fertility. Nothing to do with God or Jesus. Well, that's that part of my little discussion this evening. Now we'll get to what is the main part. We're going to, now Tom discussed this afternoon some of the laws, precepts, statutes of God, and we're going to look mainly, that's mainly our subject tonight. And a lot of us, I wasn't really, kind of, but a lot of our mainline churches are teaching that the Old Testament does not have anything to do with us anymore, that we only live by the New Testament, and the New Testament has done away with the precepts and the statutes and the commandments of God, and that we just live by love thy neighbor as thyself. And if you live by that, well, that's all there is to, all that's necessary. Well, my Bible doesn't teach that. And we'll now, I could stay here and take this pulpit for the next 7 days, morning and night, on this subject. But we're going to look at just a little phrase of it this evening. Well, I'm going to kind of go by what I wrote down here this afternoon. So we'll start with Luke chapter 16. Everything that I talk or teach, I will use lots of scripture, because that's the only foundation that there is it is written. That is my foundation, and it's yours. And Lord, give us an understanding so that we can rightly divide. It is written. Now, I tried to get this laid out in some order, but if it doesn't come out that way, well, it'll be okay. We'll get around all of it anyway. So over in Luke chapter 16, I will read to you, starting with verse 14. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, you are they which justify yourselves before men. Now, what we're going to study tonight, the majority of Christians try to justify themselves by two scriptures in the Bible for part of it, which they take out of context and does not mean the way they take it. And I hope I get to those two scriptures. But God knows your hearts, or that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were till John. Since that time, the kingdom is God's preached, and every man blesseth into it. And I hope that it's your desire to press him to the kingdom of God now, and not wait for a future by and by. For we are the kingdom of God in the earth today. You and I are the kingdom. And Jesus is saying this. It is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the what? What? The what? Oh, I thought that was all done away with. For the law to fail or pass away. Okay. Have you ever studied to see what some of these things are? There's a multitude of them. Now, we're not going to look at this half a dozen tonight, because we could take a whole couple of hours every day for the next week and study on these things that still I am responsible for, and so are you. Turn over with me to Exodus chapter 15. Now, what we're studying tonight is the laws of life. We're looking at the laws of life. God said that we're guaranteed 70 years. And if you don't live to be 70 years of age, the devil has stolen from you. And you have allowed him to do it because you've given him a right, because somewhere you have not obeyed the word of the Lord, or you have said it's not necessary, or I don't have to do that. That's done away with. And that gives the devil a right to your physical life. God said that he guaranteed every one of you 70 years. And then he said that if by grace, there's 80 years, but he promised Noah and never changed it, that man's days shall be 120. And that law stands today. It's God's law that we have a promise of 120. But the requirement is to obey my word. It is written. I'm blessed. And I believe I'm blessed because since I began years ago to begin to see these things, I begin to say, Lord, if that's what it says, that's what I want to do. And I have begun to do that. Now, I've had physical problems. I've had 5 major operations. I've broke my leg and my hip. I've got a stainless steel ball socket in my left leg, and I got a piece of stainless steel down the side of my leg where I broke it. But it wasn't God's fault. It was my own foolishness that I broke it, see. So I can't blame God. But I got a good one. It's working fine. So, and it's not God's fault that my voice is the way it is. But the Lord can sure restore it. Amen. And I believe that restoration is for me. Amen. But, and I'm in better health right now tonight, health-wise, than the day I moved to this place. When I was in my 50s, I had terrible health, which caused the 5 operations that I had. So my health far exceeds today what it was the day I moved here. And I believe that the reason for my health is because I try to understand God's health laws. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 18. In Leviticus 18, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses." You notice, Tom made that very clear this afternoon, that God said, God said. Now, I've heard preachers get up and preach, that's Moses' law. Oh, that's a lie. Nowhere is it Moses' law. God said, "Moses, you go tell them what I said." It's God's law. Moses is just the mouthpiece. I'm just the mouthpiece here tonight, just the same as Moses. He says, "Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, I am that I am, the Lord your God, Jehovah. And after the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein you dwelt, shall you not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall you not do. And neither shall you walk in their ordinance or their ways. You shall do my judgments or ordinances, and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do," and that is woman, boy, and girl, "if a man, woman, boy, or girl do, they shall live in them, for I am the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah Elohim." Amen. Now, this chapter goes on and talks about all kinds of sexual sins that God says is an abomination. And we find that sexual sins carry a 10-generation curse. In one of Dear Abby's columns a few years ago, somebody wrote into her something about incest. And her answer was that she believed that incest was in every family, and it was the secret demon. That's what she said, that it was the secret demon in every family's closet. I believe that to be absolutely true. I believe, because sexual sins, incest, runs a 10-generation curse. And I believe that every living family is under the curse of incest. Why? Because in 10 generations, what do you know that happened? Or in 2 generations? And if nothing happened in the last 10 generations, or it happened and it's come down now, Satan has tried somehow, somewhere, to duplicate it. That's his job, so that it never runs out. You duplicate it. And so, every family is under the curse of incest, in my opinion. And you need to be delivered and set free from the bondage of incest, which is traveling in the family line. And it doesn't stop everywhere. It jumps and jumps and jumps. But before the tenth gets out, now, I like it sidetracked because as I talk, things come to me. Do you know why God had Samuel anoint Saul king? I know there's two or three here could raise their hand, but I lay odds that 90% of you don't know why God allowed Samuel to be anointed king. God could not go against his own law or his own word. Why? What happened to Judah? From whence is the kingly line? Judah had twin sons, didn't he? Was it Tamar? What was that? Incest. Incest. So, where did it come? Where did it go? Get your Bibles when you go home and count it up. David's father, Jesse, was number 9. But the children of Israel was in such rebellion that God said, "Okay, Samuel, give him a king. Over there is Saul. They'll follow him because he's a handsome guy. And he's big and he's handsome. And so go make him king. That wasn't God's choice. What did he say? David's a man after my own heart. So here comes little David, red-headed. Brothers thought he was a smart aleck. But he lived out. And he said, what's the matter with all you guys? How come you're afraid of that heathen over there? Oh, I'm not afraid of him. And they said, oh, you just wanted me to show up. He said, no. He told Saul. He said, I killed the lion and I killed the bear. And who's that uncircumcised heathen? He said, I go in the name of the Lord. I don't need your armor bearer. Well, the angel of the Lord will go with me. He didn't say that, but he knew it. So, David was God's choice for king. But his father couldn't be because his father was 9. David was 10, and David's brothers were 10 in the line of incest. And the curse wouldn't run out until David and his brothers. But God chose David, not his big brother, and made him king. So David had to obey his own, or God had to obey his own laws. See, for God says in the Word that incest is a 10-generation curse. Other curses are 4 generations. So, we're not gonna look at the scriptures that tell you that, but you can find them. You can find where Lot's grandsons, incest by his daughter, were cursed for 10 generations. And other. Now, let's go over to Leviticus chapter 20. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, again thou shalt say to the children of Israel. Let's see, he said, I've already talked to you before, now I'm telling you something again. Say to the children of Israel, whosoever be of the children of Israel, are the sojourners that sojourn in Israel, and giveth any of his seeds to Moloch, the people of the land shall stone him with stones, and I will set my face against that man, woman, boy, or girl. When it says man, it applies to the whole family. It just doesn't mean a man standing here. It means wife, son, and daughter. I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given his seed unto Moloch to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. Now, they burnt their first child to a heathen god. Today, we use a saline solution, which is called abortion. It's the same thing. God judged Israel, and the main reason that they got carried away captive was because of their worship to Moloch, to this heathen god. And God's judgment must, there's many reasons, but God's judgment must come on America. Now, we don't like to think about that. We don't like to see it. But it has to happen. For God has to judge it. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I believe it will happen in very short years. Maybe less than 10. Maybe less than 4. Because we have a situation of the election that no matter which way it goes, we could end up with civil war in this country because of the finances, because of other things, and we're closer to it than you can really imagine. But it, don't feel that's terrible. No, it's God's judgment that the kingdom may become a reality in the earth. It has to be. So, and it says you'll be cut off. Now, I believe that a lot of people because they've not repented of some of the sins that God lists here. And what that amounts to is you got cut off. You didn't get your 70 years. There's some area, or maybe you inherited in your bloodline. And you say, well, I don't believe in that. Well, why do doctors want to know all your history when you go to a doctor? Your bloodline, your ancestors. What's come down your bloodline? Your grandmother had cancer. Oh, maybe you're going to get cancer. Bloodline. The same with God's word. Oh, but we can stand against that and not accept that through and by the blood of Jesus and by the scars and stripes of the whipping post. We have dominion and authority to be set free. Amen. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 11. Now I'm meddling, really. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, speak unto the children of Israel and say, these are the beasts which you shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. And then he goes on to tell you which they are and which they are not. Now, tradition has taught you and me, the pastors that stood in the pulpits, did not study the word to see what it said, but tradition has taught us that we can eat anything we want. But God says if you do, you'll be cut off. You'll not, right, or you'll have a sickness for eating. Now, I'm not going to read the chapter, but you'll fall back. A lot of you will fall back on two references in the New Testament, but it's not the New Testament. It is the book from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22-21. It's one book. But you're going to say, oh, Paul said he could pray over it and eat anything. Really? Did you study to see what Paul's talking about? Read there and see what he's talking about. He's talking about in the marketplace, they butchered. And they still do in a lot of the world. They butcher right in front of your eyes in the marketplace and cut it up while you stand there and watch them. And in those days, and in some places in the world yet today, when they kill an animal, they catch the blood and they offer it to their heathen god. Now that's what was happening to the slaughter of the animals in the marketplace. And Paul's. And they said, oh, you can't eat that meat because the blood's been offered to a heathen god. Paul said, I can pray over that meat. And he didn't say it, but the power of Jesus is stronger than the power of their heathen god, and I can eat that meat. Now, but what did Paul say who he was? Paul said he was of the tribe of Benjamin. I've heard people call Paul that little Jew. Oh, no, Paul turned over his grave. Paul was a Benjaminite. A Benjaminite is not a Judahite, or a Jew, or a tribe of Judah, or the Jew of that day. The Jew of Paul's day was a apostate Israelite. But Paul said they twist that scripture. Where Paul said he can pray, but he said, if it bothers you, if I eat that meat that came from the marketplace, he said, I won't eat it. He said, I can eat it, I can pray, but I won't eat it. So, now, but what you really take is Peter's vision on the housetop. That's what you use to eat pork and shrimp and have catfish. Eat blood pudding and blood sausage. Peter had a vision on the housetop. He had three of them, didn't he? Well, what did he see in the vision? He saw all kinds of animals. Clean and unclean. Saw them three times. And before he went down to eat pork for dinner, they come and got him. And they said, Peter, there's three heathens down here at the door looking for you. The word Gentile is not in the original scripture of your Bible. It's used. I have a little track over there about the word Gentile. It is a man-made word. And every place the word Gentile's in your Bible, you should cross it out. And you should write in what it refers to. It refers to an individual or refers to a nation. So it's either heathen singular or heathens plural. And it is not, I am not a Gentile, and neither are you, and you never were. Okay. So they come and get Peter, and they tell him, there's three heathens down there waiting for him. So Peter went right to him. He didn't bring a man and sat down and have shrimp or oysters. He said he went with them. And he took some along with him, which was good because he had some witnesses. So he goes to Cornelius, who was a heathen, but he was a converted heathen. And the angel of the Lord had told him to go get Peter. And he even told him where he was. So now Peter understands his vision. Here's three visions, three heathens. So Peter goes with him. And when he goes in to the house, and he goes in, he eats with this heathen, who was a converted heathen. And when he prayed for him, the Holy Ghost fell on him. Now they weren't baptized with water yet. They got the Holy Ghost first. Then they took him out and baptized him afterwards. So this teaching that you had to be baptized in water before you can get the Holy Ghost, you can say, oh, that's not so. Go see what happened with Peter and Cornelius. So, because there are teachings that are dogmatic to their congregations on these areas. And all they're doing is hurting the people and segregating from other Christians. Because, oh, you don't believe like I do, so I can't fellowship with you. Abomination to God. So anyway, when Peter got back to Jerusalem, the elder said, we heard what you did, Peter. You went over to this heathen's house, and you went in and ate with him, and stayed with him. Don't you know that that's not allowed? Then Peter, he expounds the whole thing and tells him, and you find that it had nothing to do with eating pork. Pork is still an abomination to God. And he said, don't eat it. And he had a reason for saying that. Because there have been several studies made about pork. And there used to be a tract put out by the Library of Congress about pork. But the Pork Farmers Association of America got after some of their congressmen. And they got it taken off of the list, so you can't call or write and get a copy of it anymore. But you can go to the library, UCLA in California, and you can get a copy from them. But I have a copy from the Library of Congress. And they've taken pork, and pork is the source of trichinosis. Now, trichinosis is the greatest reason for arthritis. Over 50% of arthritis, the Medical Association says that over 50% of so-called arthritis is trichinosis. Because there's no known cure for trichinosis. And so they tell the people they've got arthritis. Now, what is trichinosis? Trichinosis is a germ that lives mainly in pork and also in other animals. And trichinosis settles in your joints, elbows and shoulders and fingers. And it settles behind your eyes and in your brain. And One trigger notice will grow to millions over time. And in this track I have, there's pictures where they've taken a large ball of trigonosis out from behind a man's eye, and where they took a tumor out of his head, out of another person's head, and it was trigonosis. And there's pictures of trigonosis in the joints in this thing. Now, they have also taken a pork roast and cooked it for 1 hour at 750 degrees temperature. And when they cut it apart, there was still living trigonosis in the pork roast. Help yourself. If you want to get cut off before your time, have your bacon, have your pork, eat your pork spare ribs, have your shrimp, have your lobster, have your oysters, have your catfish. Why all these other why all these things? They're all God's scavengers to clean the filth off of the earth. The oyster, the shrimp, the crab are God's scavengers, or some of them, on the ocean floor. A catfish is God's scavenger in the rivers and lakes. And that's what they live on. They live on the filth. And a pig, you can take, if you got 40 acres. Now, Doc was talking about this earlier today. If you got 40 acres of timber and it's full of rattlesnakes, put a dozen head of hogs in there for a couple of months. There won't be one rattlesnake left. They'll kill them and eat them all. Now, a hog is immune to a rattlesnake bite. Why is a hog immune? Because they're God's scavenger. And built into their system is a system that digests the filth that they eat. They will eat anything that's dead. If they're on, if a pig dies in a pig pen and you don't get it out of there, the hogs will eat it. Now, God built into the hog. You people who like hog knuckles, help yourself. Because God has built in to the knuckles, to the four knuckles of a hog, he has built in a sewage drain system. That is a fact. He's built a sewage drain system where the filth that hogs eat is propagated through their system and expelled out this gland in their knuckles, in their four knuckles. Pig feet and knuckles, you're eating the filth that hog has scavenged. So, you can say, well, I like my bacon fried real crisp in the morning. You know, I did too. But I tell you what, the very smell of it now makes me sick. Literally. And if I go somewhere where, and there's never, to my knowledge, there's never been pork, catfish, pork sausage, shrimp, nothing as abominable has ever been in this kitchen. And never will be. Now, we have very good sausage here, but it's beef sausage. And it is not pork. So you can eat it, and you will be okay. You'll not get trigonosis from it. Okay. That's enough said. Now, you can study the chapter for yourself and see what God says you cannot eat. Because you can't eat the squirrel, you can't eat the rabbit, and other things as well. And because they carry disease, and God has set them aside to protect you and me. Okay. Leviticus chapter 3. We'll change the subject a little bit. Now, I was raised, my folks got the Holy Ghost in 1922 when I was 1 year old. And they were, so I've been raised in the sawdust and on the wood benches and with the preacher that preached from the pulpit. Don't send your kids to college. Don't paint the barn and fix the fence with baling wire. Because Jesus is coming tomorrow. So because of that teaching, we have a gap in our society. Because everybody else sent their boys and girls to college. But the Pentecostal people didn't. And a lot of Baptists didn't. And so, the so-called places of the gospel became places of higher education and teaching that all of this is hearsay. And so because of that erroneous teaching, don't send your kids to college, don't paint the barn, fix the fence with baling wire, Jesus is coming tomorrow. That heretic teaching is one of the main reasons for the problem in America today. There is no rapture. There will not be one. And the Bible does not teach there will be one. Oh, you can take one scripture and twist it to make it say that. But that's not what it means. Jesus is coming back. And I hope he comes tomorrow. But I don't think he will. Why don't I think he will? Because he says that his judgment has to come on God's people because of our disobedience to him. And his judgment has to come on America and other nations of the earth who have known of the kingdom and have fallen on the wayside. Now, we are here to declare the kingdom of the living God. And how to become a son of the living and daughter of the living God. It is obey my commandments, my statutes, my precepts, and my judgments. Don't ask why. Don't argue. Just do it. That's what God said. God didn't ask you or me if I wanted to. God told me, do it. It is written. And it's my responsibility to know what is written. And it's my responsibility then to do it. And I'm not supposed to even say why. And neither are you. Now that's pretty heavy. But it's not heavy because it's the love of God. For myself, and for you. For God's looking for a church. Spotless, whiter than snow. And he will have a church. But it's called a remnant. It's called the overcomers. Do you desire to be an overcomer? Read Revelation 7. Read it. And then see what God says about being an overcomer. To him who overcome, I will give a white stone. To him who overcome, he can sit with me in my throne. To him who overcomes, I will call my son. But you have to be an overcomer. And you have to desire to be an overcomer. And you have to study. It is written to see what the requirements of that overcomer is. And I'm trying to help you a little bit tonight. But a lot of you are saying, well, that's not what my preacher said. I know it's not. You were taught error. You were taught error. And I'm just leaving you study to see if be so or not. That's your responsibility. Leviticus chapter 3. What got me back to that was, I started to say about Pentecostals and Baptists have a tradition besides others. They've got one, and it is, I plead the blood. Now, my mother, I believe, said that till the day she died. And I talked to her about it, but it was so ingrained in her, and I know God honored it. God honored it because she was sincere. But there is no scripture in your Bible that you can say, I plead the blood. And if you work in deliverance, as I have and some of the others here, the first I heard about deliverance was in January of 1965. Under two men named Bishop Whitlock and Wilburn Duncan in Pasadena, California, in a little Spanish church. At that time, me too a little bit, but Irma thought she was so sophisticated that she called it that rat hole church. And we went twice, and she didn't want to go back anymore because she said it's that rat hole church. Well, it was God's church of glory and power. That's what it was. And it was convincing her. So anyway, that's where my knowledge of deliverance began. So as we come down through the years under Derek Prince and when will they come under us? Guatemala, Norman Parish, yeah, all these others that you mentioned, that they come along after us, but we're talking about plead the blood, and how we come to an understanding that is error. Because we've prayed with thousands of people for deliverance in every form, shape, or thing that you can think of or imagine. I've been part of praying for people for deliverance. And when you confront a demon, and a lot of demons like to talk to you, don't talk to them. I bind their mouth and shut them up, because all they'll do is confuse you and tell you lies and keep the person you're praying for from getting delivered. And what they're after is not to get cast out so they can keep their subject, their prisoner. But sometimes they'll try to talk to you. And in the early days, before I was aware of this, I have said, I plead the blood against you. You know? They'll laugh in your face. Ha ha ha! Plead the blood! Really? Why? Because you have no scripture, and they know it. And they don't have to pay any attention to you. So, don't use that phrase, I plead the blood, because it's not scriptural. And the reason why is, if you come to a place where you really need the blood of Jesus, you won't have any authority. Anyway, I did a study to find out about the blood of Jesus. And so, one, we used to have a Bible study here on Thursday nights, and Louise and Tom and Doc have started a Bible study again here on Thursday night. And Louise has, for all the women who want to come, and Tom has for all the men who want to come. And that's good. Well, anyway, we had about 15 people here that Thursday night. And I decided to study on this subject of I plead the blood. because I had went through the Bible and found all the scriptures I could find relating to the blood of Jesus. And I don't remember how many I had found, but after this Bible study was over that night, a person there stayed up most of the night looking for scriptures, and she found 26 scriptures in the Bible about the blood of Jesus. Now, they are in five categories, and that's what I taught on that night. The blood of Jesus is in five categories. And if you want to write, I'll give you a moment to write. You can appropriate the blood of Jesus. There are scriptures where you can appropriate the blood of Jesus. You can apply the blood of Jesus. Blood was applied to the forehead. Blood was applied to the doorpost. You can apply the blood of Jesus. You can cover with the blood of Jesus. You can sprinkle with the blood of Jesus. And I'm going to read one of those scriptures in a moment. But there's one more. That's only four. There's one more. I know you know what it is. What's the most important one of all? Most important one of all, I have not called out. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's the most important of all of them. So there's five applications in the Scripture for the blood of Jesus that you can use, and the old demons have to acknowledge them. Amen. Now, that night, Jim, Jim on. The first one was appropriate. Appropriate. Appropriate, apply, cover, sprinkle, wash. Now, that night, for part of my study about the blood of Jesus, I started with this, with the third chapter of Leviticus and verse 13. This is where I started that study that night. Everybody got it? I want you to have it. Leviticus chapter 3. It's very important. Because it's going to lead us back, in a way, to trigonosis. Now, my purpose for Leviticus chapter 3 was to read the 13th verse. And then also to read the 6th verse of chapter 4. Now, we're not going to read that 6th verse, but it's the same as verse 13 of chapter 3. And I did what I'm going to do right now that night. And he shall lay his hands upon the head of it and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle the blood thereon upon the altar round about. And he shall offer thereof his offering, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the gall above the liver, and the kidneys, and it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar. Now, I'm going to make a sidetrack here, a remark. Now, the cattle were legal in God's economy to eat. But these are not legal. These are not to be eaten. That I just read. The kidneys, the liver, and that includes also the heart and the lights and any other, the brains, all of those things are not to be eaten. There's a very good reason for the liver, but you can figure that out. And the liver and the kidneys, it shall he take away, and the priest shall burn them up on the altar. It is the food of offering made by fire for a sweet savor. and for all the fat. Not just a little bit, but all is the Lord's. Now, I know that engraved in meat, there is fat, but there's also strips of fat around the meat. You're to cut that off and not cook it. And I've had friends who used to cut the fat off and put it on their plates and eat. Well, they're all dead now from heart attacks and from cholesterol, because that's where, and God knew that. And so God said, don't eat it. That belongs to me. For he said, all the fat is the Lord's. He said, that's mine. So, don't eat it. Cut it off. Give it to the pigs. No, I don't have any pigs to give it to. And then it says, the next verse, it shall be a perpetual statue. What is perpetual? Forever. Today. For your generations, throughout all your dwellings, that you eat neither fat nor blood. Now, I had no intention of reading the rest of this chapter when I started that Bible study. And when I read it, I had no knowledge of why I read it. But God just had me read it and go on. And I just went on to the rest of my study about the different scriptures related to the blood. And which one of them is chapter 6 across the page. But then, here's what happened. This lady, her and her husband lived here. They live up where Linda lives, only in a different mobile home. But the mobile home was where hers is. And she had gone to the doctor on Tuesday for a checkup. Now, she hadn't been to the doctor for many, many years. And she just felt impressed that she should go to the doctor. So she went for a checkup. Thursday, the doctor called her, or she went, I don't know which, to get a report on her checkup. And the doctor said, oh, you're fine, but you have a tendency showing of sugar diabetes that we need to watch. Well, this just put her in, because her grandmother had died with sugar diabetes. Her mother had died with sugar diabetes. She had two sisters who were terrible condition with sugar diabetes. And one sister had her foot cut off because of sugar diabetes. The other one's eyesight was getting bad. And now the doctor tells her that she's a borderline diabetic. So, she remembered that it said here, don't eat any blood. Why did she look up all these scriptures about the blood? Because the Lord impressed on her that the reason sugar diabetes was in her family line was because her grandmother made blood sausage and blood pudding and blood soup. Her mother made blood sausage and blood pudding and blood soup. And of course, they had all eaten it. Now, she said, I never did make any. But we were part of the family and we all ate it. And she said, God impressed on me. Now, she didn't tell me that. We come back Saturday night, had a deliverance service. And she never said a word. Sunday morning, we had praise and worship. And I got up to teach on something. And when I did, I said, anybody here need prayer before I teach this morning? And she raised her hand and said, could I say something? And I said, well, sure. I said, say on. I didn't say yes. I just said, say on. So she related to about 30 of us here that morning. She related what I've just told you. And she said, the Lord showed me that this is a curse in the family line, sugar diabetes, and it's come from eating blood sausage and blood pudding, and God says it's an abomination to him. And God impressed on me that if you would anoint me with oil and pray for me and break the curse over me, that he would heal me. Now, you see, I too did not believe in curses, because I was taught that Galatians 3:13 says that Jesus became a curse for me. So, I don't have any curse. And I was taught by Derek Prince, because of an incident that happened when he was praying for Irma. When I said, she's got a curse. He said, oh, that's, Christians can't have curses because Jesus became our curse. Well, years later, in other situations, he began to consider that. And we have a wonderful book that he's written since then, Blessing or Curse. And it all started in our house when I confronted him about Irma having some curses that he was praying for. Well, anyway, so Sunday morning, when she asked to be prayed for, I didn't believe in what she was asking for. Because my ancestry heritage told me, and Derek Prince had told me, that no Christian can have a curse. But she said, God told her to tell me to do it. So I said, well, if the Lord told you to tell me to do it, I didn't tell her I didn't believe. I said, if the Lord told you to tell me to do it, I said, I'll do it. And I said, anybody else feel that they're under a curse like this? Well, there were 9 people in our little congregation that couldn't stand up here for me to pray over that morning. Well, that changed my theology. The Lord healed her. She's gone now, but she never had sugar diabetes, ever. But so now, I've got a problem, because I prayed for somebody for curses that I've been told by my ancestor heritage and my people that I felt was in authority that what I did wasn't scriptural. So now I got a problem, and I got to see what I did. So I began to study, and the Lord took me to the simplest of all things, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But what does the rest of the verse say? That whosoever believeth may be saved. The red light and green lights all come on. I said, I see it, Lord, I see it, I see it. Galatians 3:13. Jesus became a curse. He hung on the tree and became my curse. But I have to believe it. Salvation is not automatic. Deliverance from the curse is not automatic. Unless I accept it and believe that he did it for me. Now, I have no more problem. That took care of it. And that took care of other curses in the lines as well. That took care of the 10-generation curses. That took care of the 4-generation curses. That took care of any curse that we have authority to pray in the name of Jesus and set the captives free. Amen. Amen. And that's what he's called every one of us here to do. Now, I happen to have got a head start on some of you, but you know, nothing in the world to keep you from catching up. It is written, lay hands on the sick, pray for them, cast out devils, raise the dead. Who said that? Jesus said it. Then to be so. So that authority is to every one of us. Every one of us. And it's not just because I've been around and been in that ministry for 40 years doesn't mean that I'm any greater than any one of you. And if a situation arises, don't come looking for me. You just say, you devil, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over you. I bind you and come out. Now, he might argue with you. He may not want to. But don't argue back. Jesus said, I could cast you out. Come out. That's right. Amen. And there's generally, of course, you may only deal with one. But next week, there'll be another one. And next week, there might be two or three more. But I'm of the opinion that none of us will ever be completely whole. That we desire and want to be, and we are to strive to be until Jesus comes. So that means we're to keep on keeping on, declaring He's Lord, setting the captives free, being free ourselves. There's many times ministers ministering here that I feel something come up in me and I call for yawn and when I yawn, if you see me yawn sometimes, I don't just yawn. It takes like you could put your whole fist down my throat. Well, anyway, there are lots of areas along these lines that the Lord has shown me that I've been privileged to teach to others that you can walk in the liberty that the Lord gives us. And my problem at the moment was my throat. But praise the Lord, I expect it to be better than it was before this happened. Amen. That is what I claim that, and I decree it. I decree it to be so. Well, let's see. We've covered everything, all that, so let's see if we can kind of close this up. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And we'll see what God says. It is written about the Word. Okay. Chapter 4 of Deuteronomy. Well, I'm going to read the first two verses. That's not the verse I got down here, but I'm going to read them. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Now, verse 12 is the verse. Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 12 does not relate to what we're reading. Verse 14 does. 14 is the verse. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgment, that you might do them. And I'm here tonight to teach you, to study and to learn what the statutes and the judgments of God are. But I'll tell you, there's about 100 of them in the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, there's over 100. For thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, that thou may prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. Here's a verse that if we keep the statutes and the precepts and commandments, it will prolong our days because we will eat healthy and not abominable things as well has other things. Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy 12. Verse 32, last verse of the chapter. One thing soever I command you, observe to do it, and you shall not add thereto, nor diminish from it. And when we say that these things are not for us, we are diminishing from the Word of God. And if we say it says something different, then we're adding to it. Okay? Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 22. Well, that is not correct. Sorry. Chapter 22 is not right. But since we're going by this away, I see chapter 20. I see chapter 23, where we find that it's 10 generations for incest. It's where it's concerning Lot's daughters, and it's where God speaks a 10 generation curse for sexual sins. And then, in this same chapter, is another little thing. Oh, minor, very minor, but nothing is minor with God. God says, here in this chapter, verse 13, that when you go to the bathroom, and in those days they were out, they had to cover it up. You go to the bathroom, you had to dig and cover it up, so that the Lord wouldn't walk through any filth when he come walking through the camp. So God requires that when you go to the bathroom today, you should wash your hands. And you say, oh, that's nothing. And you go in a men's restroom, and 9 out of every 10 men never wash their hands. Now, back in the 1700s, in Europe, there was a plague against women who were dying of childbirth. Almost 9 out of 10 women died from childbirth. And a doctor in Vienna felt that the Lord gave him a reason why that was happening. And he demanded that everybody in that hospital wash their hands every time before they went to a patient. And almost immediately, the death rate dropped. They tried to take the hospital away from him and excommunicate other doctors. They ridiculed him, made fun of him, but he had the proof. He had the proof. And today, it's very, very important in the hospitals because of staph infection and all, that now you don't even wash your hands. You put a pair of gloves on. And before you walk out the door, you take them off. Which has brought down a lot of problems in hospitals today. But God knew that back with the children of Israel. See? So, but we're too smart to want to obey. It is written. Okay. Well, let's get over to Revelation chapter 22. Patty says that she knows I'm done when I get to Revelations. Well, that's almost true. That's almost true. But here, I see what my problem was. I didn't want Deuteronomy 22. I wanted Revelations 22. But that little side trip was important. We wouldn't have talked about washing your hands. Here in Revelation 22, and verse 18 and 19, Jesus is talking, and John is writing it down. And Jesus says, I testify under every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, that if any man shall add unto these things, because you had under him the plagues that are written in this book. Now, we didn't go through the plagues, but they're numerous throughout the whole scripture. And the book is Genesis 1 to Revelation 22:21. It says, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, and when you try to twist the scripture to say that Paul said this or Peter said that, you're taking away the words. And here's what happens to you. Any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. So come, Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 5. Everybody found it? Matthew 5. Jesus talking again. Because a lot of you have been taught that what I've been teaching tonight is the Old Testament, and you're not required to pay any attention to it. So I've just read you Jesus. I'm going to read you Jesus again. Verse 17, Matthew 5. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill or keep or do. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. And whosoever, therefore, shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Lord, make the words of my voice be responsive to the hearts of the hearers, that they may study, see if these things be so. And then, Lord, may they ask for forgiveness for their error of their ways, from the teachings of traditions that they have set under, and the error of the teachers who taught them. Forgive them, Lord, and bring healing, deliverance, and restoration. Father, I break the curses that come from being from false teachings and from error. Lord, deliver your people. Deliver them, Lord, that may we walk in righteousness and holiness, obeying your word, Father, because I want to. Because I want to achieve to that high calling in Christ Jesus, the sons of the living God, to the overcomers, Father, and to those things that you have prepared for those who overcome. And help us, Lord, to desire to be that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You're dismissed. Prayer meeting 6 o'clock in the morning.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.